following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, the day, the show, before we find out everything there is to know. We've been trying to find out about each and every team before Big Ten Media Days. Randy Bushcutter and I will be there Monday and Tuesday, bringing you extended shows, extended coverage, and brought to you by our fine friends from the Midway Auto Dealership, by our friends at the Grand Island Diocese, by our friends at Misco Sports, and many more. And we'll be telling you more about that as we get into Chicago Monday and Tuesday. But today, there's only one team left to preview, Nebraska.
This will be fun.
We've got the Husker Roundtable coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll run the last half hour of the show, 11:30 to 12 today-ish, with Husker football. If you've got a specific question, a thought, a comment, you want to know something from Sean or Mike or any of our gang, go ahead and email us, tweet us, Facebook us, whatever you'd like to do. Of course, the Twitter address, at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox as always, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Or you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. Plus, state baseball gets going tomorrow. We talked with Joe Wells yesterday while we were at Bandits for Grand Island 5 points. Thanks to Tim, Steve Anderson, and all the gang over there yesterday. Today we'll talk Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney. They're all going. We'll talk with Russ Kindig. We'll talk with Brad Archer. We'll talk with Tino Martinez. An exciting time as Rider Park will be busy, and hopefully the 100-degree temperature is going to go down just in time a little bit for these guys to not, you know, have problems and umpiring and all that kind of stuff. But we'll talk with all three coaches here momentarily. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, really good. How about you, Doug?
Going good.
Hey,
going fine.
I do encourage our listeners to call in on this Nebraska football segment. It'll be a very interesting, some of the questions that they have. We have a lot of people out there that know quite a bit about Nebraska football and would have some interesting comments. I'd like to hear what they have to say, too.
So it's always interesting to talk about what is happening ahead of time, and then when we come back, of course, what else will be going on. Again, Nebraska taking Amir Abdullah, Kenny Bell, and Corey Cooper to Media Days Monday and Tuesday, and we'll be catching up with them next week as well. So glad to have you along with us. We're also going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Buffalo County Fair. We've still got some Demolition Derby tickets for tomorrow's Demo Derby parking pass. That'll be going on at the fair as well. So we'll give you a chance to win those here in the very near future. But State American Legion baseball tournaments do get underway tomorrow. Class A juniors are at Elkhorn South. And then you've got Class B seniors at Blair. Class C is at Hebron. And over the last handful of years, two Class A state tournaments. All of your area winners and runners-up and hosts get to play in this. The American Division is at Omaha South. That's where Hastings will be. And then the National Division is in Grand Island, and that's where Home Federal and Kearney Runza will be. And Kearney coach Brad Archer joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday. And, Coach, good morning. Congratulations on another area title.
Well, good morning, and thank you. Kids did a great job, and we were able to get through the district tournament and put ourselves in a position to compete at the state tournament.
Brad, I know you had a lot of question marks, maybe more than usual. I don't know if it was a lot, but more than usual. You had a couple of your top pitchers that went down to Nebraska football, and so they didn't get to play their last year with you here, and you guys have still found a way to piece it together. It was a year-long process. Just kind of talk about the process and where you're at today.
Well, you know, as we've stated before, I thought this year, going into the year, this is probably the least experienced team we had coming back. We still had that talent, but as far as experience, and as you said, we lost some pitchers that could have came back. We knew it'd be a work in progress, but we knew we still had some talented kids, but we're just a little bit younger than what we've normally been. And I think that's the way the season's worked out. We just told the kids to stay with it, and we'll continue to progress through the season. We'll get better, and I think that's exactly what has happened.
Yeah, Brad, Jim Langan, you know, one of the things I looked at, there was that streak there in late May where we lost seven games in a row. But after that, at least every weekend when we went and we competed, we either go 2-2, 3-2. We never did ever have that stretch again. And then now we've put one together where we won seven in a row. Your thoughts on that weekend in May and how things progressed from then?
Well, I think, you know, number one, we try to play as tough a schedule as we can. And that streak that you're talking about where we went 0-7, I think a lot of that just had to do with it was early in the year, but maybe more importantly or whatnot, is that we just, you know, we played a lot of good teams down there. When we went in Omaha in that West Side tournament, you know, we played Millard West and Creighton Prep and those type of teams early in the year, and we just weren't ready for that. But at the same time, I'm glad we did it because we found out where some of our weaknesses were, and, you know, we made some changes in our lineup defensively and those type of things. And, you know, those teams still have a lot of respect for Kearney. They threw some good pitching at us that weekend, and, you know, it kind of set us back a little bit because we weren't quite ready to see that pitching yet. But at the same time, you've got to play those people, and you've got to put yourselves in those situations so that when you get to this point in time of the year, you're ready to go. And hopefully by playing those people not only throughout the season but early in the season, that helped us improve and put us in the position we're in now.
Talking with Brad Archer, Kearney runs a longtime Legion coach here in Kearney, headed to the state tournament. They will play tomorrow at 4:30 against Millard South over at Grand Island's Ryder Park. Brad, one of the things you told me, one of those changes you made was Matt Moore, who you moved from the infield to the outfield. He really seemed to flourish. He's one of the guys, if not the guy, leading your team in batting average. Just talk about that move and maybe a couple other moves that really worked out for you guys.
Well, I think in Matt's case, this is his second year playing for us, and you're not going to find a better kid than Matt. And Matt's always been an infielder in our program as far as the juniors and the seniors are concerned. And you know, when you make up your team, you try to get, your best hitters out on the field if possible, if it doesn't hurt you too much defensively and whatnot. And so, you know, the years change and the kids change, and so if you're able to move people around and some kids are not necessarily set up to play certain positions and whatnot, then you make some changes. And in Matt's case, Matt, like I said, has always been an infielder for us, and he's always done a great job. But this year we had a little flexibility where we could make some changes, and we're certainly going to keep Matt's bat in the lineup. I think he's probably had our highest average, a batting average, the last 2 years, And as you know, to start out the district tournament this year, I think he started out 9-for-9, if I remember correctly. But he swings a great bat, and he's very important to our team. And as I said, you're just not going to find a better individual than him.
And, Coach, talk about your matchup tomorrow with Millard South. Who are you going to put on the hill tomorrow? And you're familiar with them, obviously.
Well, we played Millard South one time this year in the Kearney tournament, and we were able to beat them. But you know, baseball is kind of funny that way. When you look at it compared to any other sport, baseball, if you truly have a number one pitcher, you really have your best team out there only one out of about every five games. And I know we faced a good pitcher when Millard South came here because they always try to beat us. It's a home tournament, and we know their coaches really well. And I think the pitcher we beat earlier in the year is actually coming to UNK, but I think they do have one that's better that threw against Grand Island the next day. So we'll just have to wait and see who they throw. But as far as we're concerned, we're going to kind of stay with what we've been doing here. Peyton Pocock's going to throw the first game for us, and hopefully Peyton will come out and throw strikes like he has the entire season and play good defense behind him. One thing you got to do at Grand Island, it's you know, the field's not quite as large as a lot of the fields we play at, so it's kind of tough to score. So we've got to make sure that these first couple days when everybody has their one and two pitchers on the mound, that again we get good pitching, we play great defense, because a lot of times these first couple games with the pitching that's out there, the scores are fairly low.
All right, Arch, it looks like there's some good baseball teams on both sides, so we'll see if we can get Kearney runs. It'll be playing into next week. We appreciate you giving us a couple minutes, and best of luck this weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Brad Archer, Kearney Renza, joining us here, our American Legion State Baseball Preview. Tino Martinez, Grand Island Home Federal, coming up. We'll catch up with Rick Kissig as well. Also, our Husker Roundtable is coming up. But obviously, Jimmy, with your son Chris playing, you've seen the Kearney team day in and day out, game in and game out. Where do you see the improvement in this ball club?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with your coaching, too. I mean, let's be honest about it. When you start out and you're a 500 team or a little below 500, you have to make the correct changes, and you try to get the correct lineup in the game. You try to get the batting lineup. You learn who can run from first to third, who can't get from first to third. You try to get your pitching matchups the correct way. You don't want to throw a great pitcher against somebody that you think's a foe that you can beat with about anybody on the mound, but then you have to take some chances too and say, hey, we're playing a really good team. Do we want to take a risk throwing a great pitcher at that team where we may not be able to beat that pitcher? So a lot of it has to do with the matchups and what you do, but I know the kids have learned a lot. I know just my son in particular, I just think he's had a nice year, but it hasn't been anything maybe that he's done so much as some of the coaches, selecting what pitch he's throwing. Hey, this is a good time for a changeup. Hey, we got to work on the curveball. We got to get this curveball over the plate. And you can't get it over. And early in the season, he wasn't getting it over. So I think a lot of it has to do, and I'm just looking at my son there, but there's a lot of other players out there, too, that have, like you say, put him in the right position. They're playing center field. They're going to bat second instead of first. You know, the little changes like that, and those add to a few wins, you know.
Well, Tino Martinez they knew they were going to be at state, but they want to do more than just be there. This is a team that many people think have a legitimate chance of winning the national division. Tino Martinez joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what do you think about that? That has to be the goal, right? You guys have to have the confidence that you can win this whole thing.
Well, obviously that's probably a goal that, we share with the other seven teams in the field. And, we like the way we're playing right now. I think we put together a solid summer. We've gotten some quality pitching. We've developed some pitchers that maybe we didn't have in the beginning. And so, we think we're in the thick of things, but anybody fortunate enough to be playing at this time of the season obviously has a chance to be there in the end as well.
Hey, Coach Martinez, Jim Lang, and I noticed that Gretna, Columbus, GI, Hastings, and Kearney, five teams just on your side of the Cornhusker League or in the state tournament, as well as, you guys play in Omaha, you play in Lincoln, your spring high school baseball team was competitive. Was there anything you saw this year that surprised you? Anything that you thought, hey, that we're really better at doing this than I thought we'd be? Or was there anything that surprised you this year?
I don't know about being surprised by anything. I knew going into the season the one area that we were going to have to develop quickly in a quick fashion was depth on the pitching mound. And in the spring sometimes, with the weather and maybe the schedules not being as busy, you can get by in the spring with really two starters. And they did a great job in the spring and with doing that. But in the summer where you're playing a Tuesday, Wednesday league game and then playing five games on the weekend, you got to have six, seven, eight guys who can be reliable for innings. And so we knew in a hurry we were going to have to get some depth on the mound, and we were able to do that with guys like Alec Lee, Cedric Marino. Cedric Hunter, he was a good basketball player a while back. He went to KU. But Cedric Marino has been a good pitcher for us. Seth Roberg, Parker Upton, and then obviously at the top of the rotation we have Elaine Ewing and Calvin Hinkie, who helped solidify that. So I don't know about being surprised, but we knew in a hurry we had to get after that.
36-8 on the season, 11th consecutive area title. You open up with Omaha Burke tomorrow night at 7:30. Does Calvin get the start for you, I assume, on the mound? And if not, let us know who that is, and what do you know about Omaha Burke?
Well, Calvin is going to start. He's been, in the last month, he's been awful tough for people to measure up and get good approaches at. But Omaha Burke, we don't know a lot about him in the summer and the springtime. We did play them in the district tournament and had some success against them, but they've had a much better summer than they did in the spring. So I think they got a player or two back from college that has really helped their summer, and they're very well coached with Scott Hodges, who's been at Omaha Central for a spell, and then now at Burke. And so, you know, we know it's going to be a big challenge for us to be able to come out on the winning side, but you know, hopefully we continue to do what we've done all summer, which is be pretty sound defensively. We've been able to score some timely runs there with production in the batting order 1 through 9. And then if we get quality pitching, throwing some strikes, I think we'll be in the thick of it. But then again, it just comes down to a little bit of luck and a little bit of fortune and see where you end up in the end.
Hey, Tino, there were five state or district champions coming to your state tournament, you know, five, and there's only going to be, I believe, if I'm adding up right, you know, there's only two on the other side. Was there any thought about this? Do you know, was there any talk about this being incorrect and maybe something should have been done maybe a month before the districts or not?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's correct or incorrect. There's always talk about it every year. It's kind of the misfortune, I guess, is the right way to put it, on a year where you have a host team and that area has already been predetermined to have their champion in the opposite one they're hosting. To me, it'd be pretty simple to switch the area 3 champion and runner-up in this case to where it would even up the champions in each one. But then again, I don't know if we're getting a bargain getting Millard West out here either. Yeah. So, you know, I just think, you know, it's probably not a perfect way to do it, but it's the way that's worked for a number of years. And when you get to this point, you're going to have to be able to play against and beat good people to be able to advance. So whether it's Omaha Burke or Millard West in this case, or however else they would sort it out, you're facing pretty good pitching, pretty good players at this point. So, you know, I don't know if the system's perfect, but it's what we have.
And Tino, completely healthy, everybody's ready to go, or any nicks that we got to worry about?
We're for the most part, we're at full strength. You know, Phoenix Stevenson had a little bump on his bruise on his abdominal area. He dove back into the base a few weeks ago, and that kind of gave him some fits in the district tournament. But we're all cleared, and everybody should be available over the weekend and through the tournament.
Tino, last question. Biggest difference, because it's basically the exact same team, as you said, that played high school ball. Coach Kissick and the guys take care of them in the spring, and you guys take care of them in the summer. Is there anything that's drastically different what you guys do from spring to summer?
No, I don't think so. You know, Rick and I, you know, converse, I wouldn't say daily, but we stay in pretty good contact with each other. And, you know, I think the biggest difference between a spring season and a summer season with the weather is your schedule is much busier. And so, but I don't think anything differently. You know, Kevin Cahoy is obviously a big addition to the roster. He leads us in hitting and is extremely good in defensively in the outfield. So he's a big addition. But as far as a philosophical difference or anything like that, it's it pretty much runs from one end to the other. And you know, we try to, you know, improve each other's seasons with what we can do during our own. And so, it's a pretty good situation, and I think Grand Island benefits from it.
All right, Tino. Well, we'll let you get back to work. Best of luck this weekend. I know it's more than just playing when you have to host. So hopefully everything runs smoothly, and you'll still be playing late next week.
All right, guys. I appreciate the time.
Take care. Tino Martinez, manager, Grand Island Home Federal. They play Omaha Burke at Ryder Park tomorrow night at 7:30. Coming up, Russ Kindig, our Husker Roundtable, specifically football. The preseason media poll is out for the Big Ten. No surprises here at all, folks. In fact, it kind of makes me a little – I mean, it's just no surprise. We went through this 14 teams in 14 days, and I could have told you this would have been the prediction in May. exactly, almost exactly, team by team, position by position. We'll look at that. Don't forget the Midway Auto Dealership proudly presenting the 101st Buffalo County Fair. A lot of folks out there last night for the Little Big Town concert. What do we got today? Josh Thompson's going on out there. Tomorrow we've got the Demolition Derby. Sunday we've got the bull riding. Of course, there's all kinds of excitement going on at the Buffalo County Fair. Lots of great brand new Midway vehicles out there, cars, trucks, SUVs. Get a chance to look them over while you're out at the fair and enjoy your time with the Midway Auto Dealership and Buffalo County Fair going on all weekend long, wrapping things up on a Monday. And don't forget, at the end of the month, that's the final deadline. They'll be drawing out for the Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and Tandem Skydiving Package. Go to their Facebook page or online to thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies and breezy winds for today. Highs will top out near 94 degrees. Winds will turn to the north, 10 to 25 miles per hour. And tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Lows drop to near 70. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 86.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. While you're buzzing around, Hastings or Kearney, need a little bite to eat. Don't forget Big Dally's Deli right across from Duncan Field in beautiful Hastings, top of the hill in Kearney. You can get a bazillion different types of sandwiches. They've got so many ways to fix a sandwich, toast it, make it warm, put the right toppings on. It's all to your specifications right there at the counter, Big Dally's Deli in Hastings and Kearney. And what are we having today? Probably a little hungry today, aren't we, Jimmy? I'm going to go with one of my favorites. I'm going to take the pastrami and turkey, the old 33. That's what I'm going with, the old 33. What's your son's number?
Hey, its number's 13.
13, okay.
What's there?
There you go. Big Dally's favorite, ham and hard salami.
That's what I'm getting today.
Big Dally's Deli. Well, Russ Kindig, he's going to probably have some Big Dally's today. What's your favorite Dally sandwich, Coach?
I usually go with number 12. Bacon Club.
There you go. Ham, turkey, bacon. Oh, can't go wrong.
He knew the number. Hey, that's impressive. Was this set up? Did you guys have this set up?
They know me by name down at Dunkin' Deli.
Yeah, you just walk across from Dunkin', you go to the deli, you walk back, you make out the lineup, you're eating your sandwich. It's all good. Russ Kindig joining us here. His Hastings 5 Points team will be making the trip to Omaha to take on Millard North tomorrow at 5 o'clock. The games are on 1230 KHAS. Coach, congratulations. I know last year we were talking when the younger kids went to state and the transition this year, getting some of those up to the next level. Have you been pleased with the season overall? I mean, going to state, yes, you're going to be pleased, but are you where you thought you'd be?
You know, we've had our battles with up and down. You know, we have a couple kids that didn't quite make it through the year, but, you know, the guys, the 14 we have right now, have worked so hard, and you know, I don't think we could be more happy with them.
Hey, Coach, the last 2 years, I know you coached the junior team, and you had two really tough losses in the finals to get to state. And as a coach, you know, this year you had two games, and one was against North Platte and one was against Scotts Bluff, where the game went down late in the game. You won both games, and that was the way to get to state. Did you feel like, hey, man, this is really well-deserved after the two previous years?
You know, it started out just like last year. I think the three games we played against Kearney in that area tournament last year might have been three of the best junior Legion baseball games that I'd ever been a part of. And we get into area this year, and we play a nine-inning nose-to-nose with North Platte, and lose, and I'm thinking, geez, here we go again. But this year, we were, like you said, we came back and got the ones against North Platte and Scotts Bluff when we really needed them. So, you know, that was great to have, you know, a lot of those kids we had last year in that same situation and come out on top this year.
Russ, how did you approach the area final? You guys go to North Platte. You know you're going to the state tournament. I guess location was the only thing to decide. All kids and coaches want to win, but it would have been two games that you would have had to win, probably use a lot of pitching. I know, I'm sure Kearney is glad that you didn't have to play two games. Just how did you approach that? What was your philosophy?
You know, going in, we thought maybe go with Merrill on 3 days rest if he was going to be ready. But at the same time, it's just a different situation knowing that you're already in. You know, so we threw Alex Mendoza, who's a junior, thought that'd be a good experience for him. We were sure trying to win him, but we were gonna try not to have to do it with any of our top guys on a short rest, knowing that, you know, coming in 3 days later, we were going to be in probably an Omaha team or a Miller team in this case, where we're going to have our best guys. So, you know, we decided that we were going to go with some young guys and get them some experience, and hopefully down the road that'll help them.
Well, just like we asked Coach Archer and Coach Martinez, tell us a little bit what you know about this Millard North junior team and who you're putting on the mound tomorrow afternoon.
Right. We are going against Millard North, who we saw in the Omaha Girls Tournament in, gosh, early June. There we beat them. Let me find it here. I think I got it. We beat them 5-1. So we know they're going to be tough. The UNO coach, Harold, his son is the shortstop. They have seven, when we faced them, seven of their nine guys all hit left from the left side of the plate. None of them were left-handed, so, threw left-handed, which is a little bit different, but they're going to be tough. We know that. We threw Jared Foote the first time against them. We probably should again, but we're not. We think too much about that kind of stuff. So we're going to throw Mason Spilnick, who's as good a guy on the mound and as tough a senior as we've, you know, he's just been around forever, it seems like, in our program. But we decided he's got a little bit more junk than Zach Merrill, and we thought with Jared Foote, the way he threw his slider and curveball, that we might be best with Mason. So we're going to go with our senior, and then we're going to throw Zach Merrill the second day.
Yeah, Coach, we were talking to Tino Martinez that there's five district winners in Grand Island. I mean, other than getting to drive 20 miles and play in baseball, I mean, it seems to me that the Omaha South State Tournament looks like it's a little more, I guess, lucrative, open, you know, whatever. There are two really good teams in there, but what I'm talking about, the other six, it feels like you guys could play with those six. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, we feel like we got a pretty good draw if there is one. You know, we don't have to see Westside for a couple days, which would be great. They're going to be tougher than heck, but, you know, we beat Millard North once, the 5-1. We beat Papillion South. That's who we end up seeing. We beat them in our Johnny Hop tournament 11-1 a couple weeks ago. So we feel like if we go out there and play good baseball, we could be into Monday and be sitting 2-0.
Well, Russ, we just wanted to get a couple comments from all the coaches and wish everybody good luck and play a long weekend, because I always like to see Mike Will put in a little extra time. So play a lot of baseball, would you?
Hey, we sure will. It'd be nice not having to listen to Jim Lang in the office. We might be able to hear him in Grand Island.
So. Hey, all I know is I was really happy that Grand Island, Hastings, and Kearney all three won. I'm a little competitive, I guess, but when I'm umping, I try to be fair.
No, yeah, you're great. No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Well,
I'm
me
glad
too.
To see Grand Island enough in there. Hopefully Hastings will be in there with Grand Island and Kearney like they have been the last however many 10 years. You know, they've always been in there, it seems like. So hopefully we'll change things around where we're at here.
All right, Russ, have some fun. A pleasure chatting with you. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Russ Kindig, the manager of the Hastings Five Points Bank team. They play Millard North tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And maybe, you know, if you're going to go to these state tournament games, there's parking lots, there's tailgating, there's good food. Maybe you're going out to the fair, saw some tailgaters last night before the concert. Doesn't matter if it's bull riding, tonight's concert, or, of course, the Demolition Derby. Troutman's Quality Meats is the place to go to get everything you need for your grill. All beef at Troutman's is USDA Choice certified Angus beef, and if you're going to get a good steak, you can't do any better than Troutman's. Their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Maybe you just need some snack sticks. Maybe you need the beans to go with it. Maybe you need some great beverages to wash it all down with, or you're just at home this weekend, you want some prime rib, you want some bacon, you want some luncheon meat, you want some ribs, ham. It's all there, and it's all done great by Carrie and the gang at Troutman's Quality Meats, Grill's best friend, East Highway 30, Kearney. When we come back, the Husker Roundtable. Nothing but Nebraska football after this.
Get your vehicle, and we mean virtually any vehicle, showroom clean and fresh with Gomez Auto Detailing and Services of Hastings. Detailing for autos, semis, travel trailers, RVs, or whatever you have on wheels. ShopWheelerDealer.com has gift certificates in $100 denominations that are marked down. Use them together to purchase the level of service you need inside, outside, all around the car. Gomez Auto Detailing at ShopWheelerDealer.com.
My fellow Nebraskans, what does baby food and most beers have in common? Both lack flavor.
Taste Golden Frau Honey Wheat from Thunderhead, a wholesome wheat beer brewed with sweet Nebraska Sand Hills honey.
You gave up baby food, give up baby beer.
Men and women both love the Frau.
And we're not here to judge.
Find Golden Frau Honey Wheat at thunderheadbrewing.com or in your favorite store.
If they don't have it, you need a new favorite store. Thunderhead, because life is too short to drink bad beer.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved in all the area county fair, 4-H, and livestock auctions. Trampy Ag, Kappa Grains, Zorb Farms, Exchange Bank Minden, Killian Motors, Sapp Brothers, Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed, Ravenna Sanitation, RAI of Nebraska, Exchange Bank in Minden, Stadler Implement in Minden, and Clevenger Farm Products. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be a part of such a great program is a blue ribbon in itself.
Join the fun and golf at Hastings Elks. Golf at the Elks is Hastings' best recreation value. We're open to the public and 6 p.m. to close every day. It's just $15 for 9 holes with a golf cart included. Make your tee time online 24/7 at HastingsElksGolf.com and look for our Twilight Special. 6 p.m. to close every day. 9 holes, just $15 including cart. Join the fun at HastingsElksGolf.com.
Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter travel to Chicago to bring you live coverage of Big Ten Media Days. Join them from 11 to 1 this Monday and Tuesday, plus bonus coverage when they return. Hear from the new guys on the block, Rutgers and Maryland. One-on-one interviews with the Big Ten coaches and star players. Brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island. Log on to gidiocese.org for mass times and parish activities throughout central and western Nebraska. Big Ten Media Days coverage on Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Always the day before Big Ten Media Days. In this case, we got the weekend buffering it. We wrap up our 14 teams in 14 days by talking about your favorite team, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And the Big Ten preseason media poll out today. There were 29 voters. They took two from each school and only had one turn in from Maryland, and then Adam Rittenberg and Phil Steele on the national scene. And no surprise, it's Ohio State, it's Wisconsin. There's no surprise there in my estimation. Everybody saying the West could be one of four teams. It's Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska picked third, then Northwestern, Minnesota, Illinois, and Purdue in the East. Ohio State edging out Michigan State, then Michigan, Penn State, Maryland, Indiana, and Rutgers. 19 of the folks pick Ohio State to win the Big Ten championship game. 9 pick Michigan State. And somebody picked Nebraska to beat Ohio State in the championship game. We are pleased to start our Husker Roundtable to the top of the hour with Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com. He and Steve Sipple will be doing our Husker lunches again this year at Cunningham's Journal. We'll start it off at the end of August in Grand Island with the kickoff luncheon. Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity. Of course, you hear the Hale Varsity radio show every weekday afternoon from 4 to 6 here on ESPN Radio. And a pinch-hitting stubbing here at the last minute. We really appreciate Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, of course, formerly of the Omaha World Herald. Doug Duda, Jim Langan here on this end. Gentlemen, thanks for the time. Good morning to each one of you.
Morning.
Great to chat with everybody. And I guess let's just start right off the top here. Mike, we've covered these polls enough. Was there any surprise on this preseason poll today? You kind of look at what happened last year and kind of fill in the blanks. Anything jump out at you?
No, not really. That doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think that fits the perception, I think, of most people.
Sean, anything there that jumped out at you?
I mean, I think the West, it's so wide open, and I think what people are using now are the schedules kind of as the tiebreaker, because I feel like any one of those three teams, Nebraska, Iowa, or Wisconsin, can win the West. I still don't quite understand what the fascination with Wisconsin is, knowing they basically lost their entire front seven. They don't necessarily have their quarterback situation figured out. We know they have a great running back and a great offensive line, which they've always had, but they lost Jared Aberderis. So it is quite interesting to me that Wisconsin is looked at as this overwhelming favorite in a lot of people's eyes when they've lost maybe as many key components as any team. Iowa returns a lot, and they've got the line play. And we know with Kirk Ferentz teams, when they have great lines, they usually win a lot of games. And they have a great schedule where all they really have to play in the conference are Nebraska and Wisconsin. And those are the final two games on the schedule for them. And for Nebraska, it's the road games with really all four of their toughest Big Ten games coming on the road. Those are some tough odds that I think people are taking that into account.
Mitch, do you think it's time? I know this is the first official year of the West, but is it time for a changing of the guard in the West? Iowa, Northwestern, I've even had some Minnesota talk out there.
I think those are up-and-coming programs. I think what we saw from Minnesota last year is not a fluke. As long as that coaching staff can stay together, and there's been great continuity to this point with Jerry Kill and his staff, those guys have been together longer than really than anybody in the league. Minnesota is going to continue to be a player in the Big Ten in the West Division. Iowa, I look for Iowa to again kind of continue what we've seen in recent years with a bit of a roller coaster mindset within that program. They're on a roller coaster. We see some up, we see some down. It seems that Iowa will step up and play well. In a season often when there are lower expectations. This year the expectations are certainly higher than they were a year ago, so who knows what that means for the Hawkeyes. But I echo largely what Sean says. The East, I think everybody sees as a two-team race between Ohio State and Michigan State, and of course the West is wide open. I understand the voters' logic a little bit on Wisconsin. I feel like the schedule sets up well for Wisconsin, as it does for Iowa. The Badgers, of course, play just Rutgers and Maryland out of the East, so that's a good draw for them. And I think Melvin Gordon gets a lot of respect, and everyone believes that while Wisconsin may have some deficiencies, does have some deficiencies on defense, that offensive line is going to be strong, and they're going to run for a lot of yards against a lot of people.
I'm not going to wait till the end of the discussion this year because I think opinion varies on Nebraska this year. We've been in that 9-10 win place for a lot of years here. Just a quick 15, 30 seconds, and then maybe we can break it down after that. Mitch, what do you see from Nebraska this year?
Well, if you're talking about the win totals, I think this is the year that Nebraska breaks that trend. I think this is the year that Nebraska goes either above 9, the 9-10 threshold, or below it. And that leaves me a lot of outs, but I could see it going either way. I really could. I think that the 6-year streak is going to end this year. I'm not ready to predict which way it goes.
Sean, what are you thinking right now?
I mean, right now, I think when you look at the schedule, what's interesting about it is there isn't a game on there where you can just say Nebraska's overmatched. There isn't that Texas of the Big 12 or Oklahoma of the Big 12 where they were top 5 teams, or even a trip to Ohio State when Ohio State is a top 10 type team. I think every game is winnable to an extent, but then you can look at it and say there's five, six games on there that they could conceivably lose. So that's what makes this season so intriguing, because I don't think there's going to be much that separates a 10-2, 11-1 season from an 8-4, 7-5 season. I mean, it's going to take the breaks and the turnovers. I think today I would have Nebraska going 10-2. The biggest key is the non-conference. They have to win those two games. If they don't beat Fresno and Miami, I just think the tone of the season will change. The pressure will mount on Pelini, and that's going to really, when they go out to East Lansing for that October 4th game, that's going to really, I think, put a lot of pressure on them. And if they can just get the momentum and win those two big non-conference games and go into Michigan State at 5-0, I think this could be a pretty special year for Nebraska. But all bets are off if they lose one or both those non-conference games.
And, Mike, here on July 25th, do you have a gut feeling on this Big Red team?
You know, I kind of agree with Sean from the standpoint of the importance of those last two non-conference games. I think that you can build up some momentum there. Obviously, if you don't win both of those, I think you put yourself in a difficult position because of those four tough Big Ten games all being on the road. So I guess I agree with Sean from that standpoint. I agree with Mitch on the maybe this is the year where that pattern gets broken, and I'm not sure that it's going to get broken from the positive standpoint. And again, because of the potential there, if you don't win both those non-conference games at the end of your non-conference season, going into the Big Ten with the without that momentum, going on the road and playing those tough teams, I really think that the mindset of your team by the end of the season, when you got to go to Wisconsin, you got to go to Iowa, and then in between Minnesota comes to Lincoln, I think that the mindset at that point could determine whether you're going to be successful down the stretch. But the complicating factor, obviously, and we'll probably talk about this, is you have a young quarterback, and how that's going to play out, I think, also factors into this.
Sean, Mike, and Mitch, this is for all three of you, just a comment here, too, and kind of elaborate, if you could. There's one thing Nebraska can fix from last year that will really help them out a lot, and I think it's easily fixed, and that is their punt return team. I think they can return punts. I think they can at least field punts. There's things you can do. You don't have to return punts for touchdowns, but you got to make decisions inside the 10-yard line that are correct. Do some things as far as putting pressure on the other team's punter so he doesn't have all day to punt the ball. I see that as something that can be fixed easily. The turnover margin, I don't know. Last year we were minus 11 in turnover margin, so it's something that we have some area to improve on. Other than those two things, what else can we really improve on?
Mike, let's start with you.
Well, you know, I think, obviously, I think special teams needs to improve. And, it's not just, kind of as you pointed out, with the punt returns, it's not just the guy back there returning the punt. I mean, it's everybody working together there and in order to be successful. I don't know if it's an easy fix, but it's something that needs to be fixed because of the field position, because of all those factors. And obviously, the turnover thing, you constantly emphasize that. I don't know if there were a way to fix it. Obviously, Nebraska has worked to do that, but you still run into the problem. So I think those are two areas definitely that need to be addressed, and whether or not Nebraska is successful, that definitely is one third of the success. You know, offense, defense, and special teams, and Nebraska has not distinguished itself in special teams, particularly on those punt returns, and I think it goes to all 11 guys on that unit, not just the guy catching the ball.
Mitch, is there something that stands out to you besides those two things?
Well, it goes without saying that if Nebraska's unable to fix some of the problems, there are a lot of the problems that it had last year in special teams and with turnovers, then you can forget about that 9-win streak ending on the positive side. That's something that I know Nebraska has stressed a tremendous amount this offseason, but it's been stressed a lot in previous offseasons too, and there have been times where Nebraska's made strides in those areas, and then we see years like last season when the problems continue to crop up in the areas of special teams and turnovers. You know, I'll go with a fairly obvious one on an area that I'll pinpoint for being key to improvement on this team, and it's just the consistency at quarterback. It's the most important position on the field. It's understandable why Nebraska had inconsistency at quarterback last year with the injury to Taylor Martinez and Tommy Armstrong and Ron Kellogg splitting time, both inexperienced. But this year, there's reason to believe that Nebraska will be more consistent at that position if it stays healthy. Armstrong has those 8 or 9 games under his belt from a year ago. He's got an off season as a leader in this program. I feel like he has the respect of his offensive line, of the veteran players around him on offense, even the defensive players. I really like the intangibles that he brings to the game. There are still questions about his consistency, about some of his decision making, but if those things can be proven to be successful, if he's improved in those areas, I think Nebraska will get much more consistent quarterback play, and to me that will go a long way toward determining the success of this team.
We're talking with Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, Mitch Sherman. I've got a few questions here, and Sean, I'm going to start with you, and you can also answer that last question if you'd like, but I've got a few from the listeners via the Twitter, via the Dent Popper inbox, and Sean, this comes from Sean. How much should we expect out of the transfer and junior college offensive linemen like Lewis, Chongo, and Matt Finnan?
Well, I think of the three, Lewis will be the one that plays a lot. Chungo's a two-deep guy. Finnan right now is the number two right tackle. So two of those guys, I think Chongo could have a shot to play more this year, but obviously Lewis, if I were to rank offensive linemen as pro prospects, he's probably Nebraska's potentially top pro and definitely a guy that could get drafted here in a year or two. You know, I want to throw one stat out, though, to go back to what you were previously talking about last year.
Sure.
I think one of the things that we don't talk about a lot is the poor field position, and that goes back to Jim's point about special teams. Here's a number for you. Nebraska had 22 drives last year that started inside its own 10-yard line. If you combine the previous two seasons before that, Nebraska had, I believe it was just 19 or 20 drives combined in those 2 years. So Nebraska ran 41 total plays inside their own 10, that's a humongous number. I think that had a big part of some of the struggles we saw last year. That poor field position just escalates to problems, and it has to do with special teams. It puts the defense in tough spots. And I think that was, you know, when you look at that number, I mean, Nebraska arguably probably ran as many or more plays inside their own 10-yard line as any team in college football. It's just a crazy amount of plays they ran last year, and I think it had a big effect on how the season went.
And only one of those was a 99-yard touchdown pass. So, you know, they did convert one of those. Mitch, this comes from Dustin. And with you maybe having a little bit more of a national perspective, I'll throw this one to you. Dustin says, is there an assumption or a conventional wisdom that you think the Husker fan has about this year's team that's off the mark? Are we too positive about something? Are we too negative about something? Is there something that already you can answer his question with there?
Well, I think there's always a tendency within Nebraska to be optimistic about the team, especially when you get to this time of year. You know, spring football is full of optimism. The off season is full of stories about good things happening within the team, about guys working hard. The thing that you have to keep in perspective is that that's happening all across the country. There are great athletes at at all of the programs in the Big Ten and, of course, around the country when you look at the teams that that Nebraska is going to play. So I do think, you know, on the 1st of August, and this is true of all fan bases, maybe not all. There maybe are some eternally negative fan bases out there, but Nebraska's is not really one of those. I think fans always tend to be a bit more positive than is the conventional wisdom would dictate. Now, if you go back to the mid-90s, there was great reason for Nebraska fans to be eternally optimistic. I don't know that that is necessarily the case right now. There are reasons to be optimistic. I think there are reasons to have concern. But if I had to say that right now the Nebraska fans were leaning one way or the other, I would say the optimism is pretty high, and that's good. That's what makes college sports fun.
Well, we have another tweet here at ESPN 1460 1550. Mike, I guess this is the question that comes up every year, and I'll still throw it out because I'll chuckle here a little bit. But Drew says, what end result makes this Husker season considered successful?
Well, the obvious thing, I think you get to the Big Ten championship game and win it. I mean, that's Bo Pelini said when he came here to win championships, and man, Nebraska hasn't won one yet, and I think that's the bottom line. This season's going to be successful if Nebraska gets to that Big Ten championship game and wins the championship.
Our Husker Roundtable here with Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, Mitch Sherman, Doug Duda, and Jimmy Langan doing the hosting here on the show today. Jimmy, what do you got?
Well, the only thing, when I look at Nebraska and the people are talking about the success that we can have, I think our running back situation is extremely good, and I think that the offensive line has a chance to be good. But when I look at it, I just think we're going to be a little too optimistic when we're looking at these four Big Ten games that we have to play on the road. I just don't see us. I mean, when we're talking 9-10 seasons, I think we're going to be closer to maybe 7 than we are that 9-10. I'm hoping we can get to 8. Does anybody else feel that way, or am I the only one that's strong?
I'll tell you right here, Jimmy. You got James in Grand Island. One of his questions is ask if we're going to have a decent O-line this year because it's been a while. I thought they were okay last year. Sean, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think if they didn't have Alex Lewis, I'd probably have a different feel about this line, but he gives them a veteran, solidified NFL presence at left tackle. And you think about the tackles Nebraska's had. They haven't had a lot of guys like him in history. I mean, he's a bona fide NFL tackle, and you look at the great history of Nebraska, they've had a lot of guards and great centers, but I think Alex Lewis could put himself as a legit tackle, and you know he had a great spring. But if you didn't have him, I would have different feelings. But I love that combination on the left side of Jake Cotton and Lewis. I still have questions about Mark Pelini being the center. We know he's a guy that could probably give you 20 good plays a game, but can he go 13, 14 games against Big Ten caliber competition? And I don't know. I mean, he's 6 foot tall, 280 pounds, and 6 foot tall with high heels on probably. I don't think he's a legit 6 foot tall because I'm not 6 foot tall, and I feel like I'm taller than him when I stand next to him. So I don't know if he's the answer. They might need to look at some other things at center right now, whether it's Ryan Reeves, and that was the guy they looked at in the spring. I think Zach Stirrup came a long way. The right guard is kind of the one open spot, whether it's Mike Mowdy, Givens Price, Chungo Kendola, or even a freshman like Tanner Farmer could get a look. But I did like what I saw. It's all juniors and seniors on that line right now, too, and that's the way it should be. I mean, it's unrealistic to think freshmen and sophomores should be playing on the offensive line in the Big Ten, and I think Nebraska has at least rebuilt things up to where that line is back to being a good, solid junior and senior group.
Mike Babcock, the next Twitter question we'll fire at you. Sean wants to know, do we have any DNs on the roster other than Randy Gregory that are as talented as Avery Moss? I'm sure the answer to that is no, but that doesn't mean that by the end of the season that we might not have a guy or two that is up there.
Well, I think Greg McMullen's going to be a pretty good player, and he's one of those guys that I think needs to stay healthy because of the situation right now. There are going to be some guys that are probably going to develop there, but and even Malik Collins can move outside. That's the thing about him, as big as he is, he can play inside, he can play outside. But I think Greg McMullen is a guy that's going to be really good, and I think he's, when you're looking at this defense and you're looking at guys that are going to have to stay healthy, in order for them to be successful. Obviously, Randy Gregory's at the top of the list, but I think Greg McMullen's one of those guys as well.
We're heading into the last few minutes of our annual Husker Roundtable. Pleased to be joined by Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, and Sean Callahan of Husker Online. And Mitch, I have to chuckle about a couple of your reads on ESPN.com, but let's get to 00 Husker, who says, this is the question of the week, does cheating pay today in college football?
Well, that's a complicated question. If you get away with it, sure. How easy is it to get away with? You know, that's a point that's open for debate. I feel like, you know, and you're referring, of course, to Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, who made those comments. I think somewhat for shock value at Big 12 media days at the beginning of this week. And you know, I'm interested to hear from Jim Delaney, the Big 10 commissioner, next on Monday, just in a couple of days from now. He is certainly going to respond to what Bowlesby said. I think he'll have some more subdued thoughts, but he will speak his mind. That's one thing about Delaney. He's a major power player in college athletics, and you will hear from him. He's not going to play this thing down. I think there are big problems in college sports today. The model through which we govern the game is outdated in a lot of ways, and I think there are I don't just think this, I know that there are some significant changes that are on the horizon. Does it pay to cheat? Like I said, if you're not getting caught, of course it does. Like anything, like cheating with anything else, any other walk of life. If you get away with it, good for you. But I think that it's been proven that if you're doing it in a big way, eventually things are going to catch up with you, and you are going to get caught. And I think that still holds true in college athletics today.
Well, let's get to the question that's on the table, and every one of us gets asked numerous times a day, how do you think the Huskers are going to do? What's their record going to be? And we had a couple of people say, you know what? What's a successful season? This is a Husker team that could be 10-2 and still finish third in the West if they lose to Iowa and somebody else, a Michigan State, a Wisconsin like that. But it's Tommy Armstrong. I say for the first time in years, decades, longer than before Bill Callahan came here, I think this is the biggest, this season is the biggest question mark. I'm not a Tommy Armstrong believer. I want him to do great. I keep saying that. But I'm not a believer, and I don't know that we don't have a stud. I mean, Riker Fife's going to be fine. Johnny Stanton's going to be fine. But Sean, I'll start with you. Especially if the offensive line doesn't click and it's going to make it even tougher on the quarterback, is that the number one concern? What do you think about Tommy Armstrong? Because it seems to me he's not penciled in, he's inked in as the starter.
Well, I think he got a lot of valuable experience. I felt like he had a good spring. We got to see the practices. And, you know, I do agree, he's the guy. And I think the bigger thing, though, with any Bo Pelini team is the defense. If he can have the elite defense to go with them, I mean, look what that kind of defensive play did for Zach Lee in 2009.
Yep.
You know, when Nebraska didn't really have quarterback play, they almost went to the Fiesta Bowl and beat a team that played for the national championship. So I think the biggest thing with any Bo Pelini team is the defense. If they can play at a high level, like we saw in 09 and 10 and the lighter part of 08, I think this could be a successful year. But if the defense has the young growing pains and inconsistencies, that's going to put pressure on Armstrong. And you don't want him to have to feel like he's got to win games by himself. He needs some help from that defense, and they need good field position. And I think that had a lot to do with the problems last year. The defense was too young. They gave the offense poor field position, and it put a lot of pressure on a freshman to go out there and make plays.
Mike, some people say going into Taylor Martinez freshman year, there was a big question. I say it's been a lot longer than that. Just your thoughts on the quarterback position.
Well, I think the dynamic is entirely different when you're the guy. I mean, that Tommy Armstrong came in last year in different circumstances. And so I think the mindset is a little bit different now that he's the guy, he's the number one guy. And I think defenses are more familiar with him, obviously, because there's stuff on film. So it's going to be a different kind of a thing for him. You know, I think he has the potential to be a good quarterback, but I don't know. I don't automatically assume that he's going to be on fire from the beginning because he had some experience from last season. And I think the offensive line is critical. You know, how that offensive line comes together and plays is going to be critical to whether we regard Tommy Armstrong as being a successful quarterback or not. I don't know. Once the season gets going, you got some competition there, Johnny Stanton and Riker Fife. Maybe he's not the guy down the line. You just don't know. But the parameters are different when you're the guy, when you're the starting quarterback. And it's not just what you know, it's what the defense or what the opposing defenses know about you as well, what they see on film. So I think the jury's still out on what kind of quarterback he's going to be.
Mitch, how long do you think the rope is here? Is he going to have a lot of latitude?
I think he has a fairly good amount of latitude. I think he it's not as long, of course, as what we've seen with Taylor Martinez in recent years. Some of that depends on the development of Stanton and even Riker Fife. But right now, going into the season, I think there's the thought coming from the coaches that he's the guy, going to be the guy. He's going to continue to do what he needs to do to earn the spot. I like Tommy Armstrong. I like what I saw from him in the spring. I like the intangibles that he brings to the field. I don't think that Nebraska needs to ask him to do too much this year as a sophomore quarterback. I think that a lot of his progress and his success this year is going to be dependent on the people around him. I mean, you can say that for most quarterbacks, but in Tommy's case, I think that holds true quite a bit. Not just the offensive line. I think those backs can take a lot of heat off him. I think it would be great if he could establish a weapon at the tight end position that Nebraska has been lacking for several years. Maybe it's season four. I think he can get into a groove with Kenny Bell and some of those other receivers and not have to do too much. And if that stuff clicks, if it works the way that Nebraska would like it to work, the way that I think it's capable of working, then I think he's plenty talented enough to do the job that Nebraska needs to have a very successful season with him in charge.
Yeah, I agree with a couple things that were said. One about the Nebraska defense. If the Nebraska defense is a Pelini-type defense, this team, that's the only way we're probably going to win 10 games and be that elite team. I also agree with, you know, a lot of things that were said here. But when I go back to the Iowa game, that was definitely the football game where we were forcing things. Iowa came in and said, hey, we're going to play this game 0-0 as long as we can. Nebraska had a different philosophy in that game, and they tried to force some things, and all it did was generate points for Iowa. So I agree with what you guys are saying about not putting us, don't take chances. Let's just take the game and try not to be somebody we're not, because we are going to be a team that's going to have to win a lot of close football games.
It wasn't 0-0 very long, by the way. Well, let's wrap it up with this. Media Days is Monday and Tuesday. Mitch, let's start with you. Really cool stuff again with the articles on the web with Northwestern. Probably going to get asked Union questions. Maryland and Rutgers, new in the league, but probably a different feel from Nebraska. What's the number one thing that you want to hear from Bo or any of the players on Monday?
The number one thing from Nebraska that I want to hear. Well, I think when it gets to be this time of year, you're always starved for information about how the offseason went. I don't feel like Nebraska has any tremendously pressing issues that are unanswered as in the time that we've gone since hearing from Bo at length at the end of spring practice. I don't feel like there's that one issue hanging over the team that sometimes you might have this year. So I, you know, more than anything, I just want to hear from Bo and from the players about how this summer has gone, how they feel like the leadership has continued to develop. You know, a year ago, Nebraska went through a period in the off season where I think it felt the need to artificially implant some leaders. You had the captains who were named in June of last year. They didn't do that with this season, at least not publicly. So I think there is more of a natural leadership group among this team. And I'd like to hear from the guys who are in attendance next week. I mean, you've got some of the real leaders on the team, and Abdullah Bell and Cooper, about that dynamic and just what it looks like at the top of the heap, from the top of the heap going into the start of camp real soon.
And Sean, what's on your first note card for Monday?
Just to kind of feel how they're perceived around the league. I mean, I get a feeling that there just aren't a lot of expectations around the Big Ten right now. And in some ways, I think Bo Pelini's team plays better in that role. when they first walked in this league in 2011, they were the favorite to win the whole thing and highest ranked team in the AP poll to start the year off. And obviously they didn't handle the pressure well in the Michigan game and Northwestern game and up the Wisconsin loss. I think this year is different because there really aren't a lot of expectations outside of the state of Nebraska for this team. They're being left out of a lot of discussions for anything. And Wisconsin has kind of been the anointed team in the West with Iowa right there, and then Nebraska kind of in the mix as well. And I just think how this team handles that. And I also get a feeling that Bo Pelini likes this team, and he likes the role that they have right now. And it will be interesting to see. But I still believe those non-conference games early on will really write the script on how this year goes.
Well, Mike Babcock is going to stay back and man the store in this boring state of Nebraska at Hale Varsity. Mike, it still pops into my head every once in a while that it doesn't seem like we should be as far removed from that Iowa press conference as we seem to be. It seems like everything is bygones are bygones. The past is the past. Is that the way you feel?
Well, yeah, I guess so. You know, you're right, though. That was a pretty dramatic finish to the regular season there. I think Nebraska salvaged a lot with that bowl win. And so I think things change. And, you know, hope springs eternal. I think Nebraska fans, we talked about this earlier, Nebraska fans have high expectations, and I don't think those things change. I think the expectations on the outside, as Sean pointed out, become different because Nebraska hasn't done it. I mean, Nebraska hasn't won a championship, hasn't been at the top of the heap, and so you've got Nebraska fans who have a perception based on Tom Osborne's success at the end of his coaching career, 25 years, three national titles in his final four seasons, and being in position to win a couple more. I think that's where the perception comes from. So it's understandable, I think, from both standpoints. Nebraska fans have high expectations. People outside the program, not so much, because it hasn't been the case for so long.
36 days away from Nebraska and Florida Atlantic, and that, I'll tell you what, I'll wrap it up with this thought, and we'll let the guys go. But yesterday, Michael Sevier and the Bottom Line at Omaha World Herald had about a 40-minute sit-down with Tom Osborne, and he finally asked him the question that I'd wanted to hear for a long time. What if he would have been the governor and wouldn't have been available to be the athletic director? We're going to talk about that coming up after the break. But Mike Babcock, Hale Varsity, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, Sean Callahan, Husker Online. Guys, we always appreciate the generosity of your time, and we'll see a couple of you in Chicago. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, guys.
That was a great group. Great group. And, again, go read the stuff that's out there on all of those websites. There's some really good stuff going in there. I think some things that the general fan doesn't realize or gives them some information. But the question asked yesterday, and Tom Osborne always kind of answers a question to the X or the nth degree sometimes and does it so eloquently and great. But he said, you know, I think I could have got some really good things done as the governor, especially helping young people. And he went into it, and you can go online there and listen to their podcast just as easily, though. But that comes up to me all the time, Jimmy. When he announced that he was going to run for governor, I just assumed that it's over. It's Tom Osborne. Everybody said he could run for governor. He could do anything he wants. And he didn't win. And Governor Heineman went ahead and did the great job, and that left Tom Osborne open to be brought in by Harvey Perlman to be the athletic director. If he's the governor, I just really think we're in a way different place right now at Nebraska. Bo's not your coach. I think they would have still been trying to spin their wheels. Who knows if we'd even been in the Big Ten? Who knows if we'd even been in the Big Ten?
Yeah, you know, probably not. I mean, I would say we probably wouldn't have been. And if we would have been, it would have been at a later date after some other schools. You know, because when you get Maryland and Rutgers, you know that the things are really twisted. But at the time we did it, Colorado, you know, going to the Pac-10 and Nebraska, Kansas and Kansas State were asking Nebraska, whoa, hey, you know, please don't do this because, you know, hey, we've played each other for over 100 years. We've got these rivalries going forever. You know, hey, really give us a chance to really think through this. Let's don't do this. But I think, you know, Tom Osborne looked at what Texas was doing and said, hey, financially for us to move, this is just a huge – financial move that we need to do. This is something we need to do because we don't know where our conference is going for sure, and there was so much movement going on that we got proactive in it and made that move. I think Missouri, you know, then, you know, goes to the Southeastern Conference, and Missouri probably was going to maybe go to the Big Ten if Nebraska didn't take their spot. So there was a lot of things, but you're right about Tom Osborne. No matter what he did, you know, what I've looked at him, you know, he's probably going to be successful in whatever area he was in. He was a very successful man.
I don't know how he does it. You know what the right thing is to do, but he seems to do it every single time. It was a really cool listen. Maybe go check it out if you want. Folks, how much production are you losing? Unfortunately, now you see a lot of photographs from the air over the last couple of months of some fields that have been wiped out with hail and wiped out with some flooding and wiped out with storms. But if you are fortunate enough to survive that and you get that picture from above, and you've got spoking in your field, that means start and stop, start and stop. Not everything's getting watered equally. Your crop does not look the same. It's not the same type of crop. It's not the best crop that you can have. And T&L Irrigation, with their hydrostatic production, takes care of that. They take care of that. There's no spoking. The pictures don't lie. The production doesn't lie. T&L, proven technology that works. Stop by and see your local T&L dealer today, or go to TLIRR.com. We've got a couple of more things to discuss here, but as we go into our final break, we will be giving away our final tickets to the Buffalo County Fair. I've got a pair of tickets and a parking pass to Saturday's Demolition Derby, and it gets underway at 5 o'clock. Pair of tickets. If you haven't won anything from us so far this week, now's your chance. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. All you have to do is answer our little easy question here. We told you earlier in the show where the preseason media poll picked Nebraska to finish in the West Conference. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Where was Nebraska selected to finish in the Big Ten West in the preseason media poll? First correct caller gets the tickets. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Come check out this season's breakout players at Buffalo Wild Wings. For a limited time only, try our Game Changer Brat with caramel malt flavor, topped with braised onions and spicy mustard, served on a pretzel bun, or try out one of the Sauce Lab's three signature sauces. Go for the unrelenting heat of ghost pepper, the summery citrus zing of classic margarita, or the salty sweet fusion of salted caramel barbecue. With wall-to-wall TVs, hand-spun wings, and 16 signature sauces and 5 seasonings, that place is Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Hey Nebraska, at Big O Tires, we're here to provide you with great value and peace of mind. One way we do that is with our Ready to Road Trip Service Special. For just $19.95 on most vehicles, we'll change your oil, rotate your tires, top off your fluids, inspect your brakes, belts, hoses, and test your battery. All for just $19.95. You'll get great peace of mind for safe summer driving and a great value. Tire Service Straight Talk. We are Big O Tires, the team you trust.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with the Area County Fair, 4-H, and Livestock Auctions. Aurora Co-op with a location near you. Hand Machining in Pleasanton. One Bank in Minden. Pleasanton Irrigation. CHS Agri-Service Center. Family Physical Therapy. Burger King. Hellman Maine. Kostler and Cottle of Kearney. And Town and Country Bank member FDIC. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be a part of such a great program is a blue ribbon in itself.
Best friends deserve to look and feel great, as only Puppy Junction in downtown Kearney can make happen. ShopWheelerDealer.com has discounted $20 gift certificates toward any haircut, wash, or products. Buy and use as many as you need. Certificates from ShopWheelerDealer.com add to the savings. ShopWheelerDealer.com, where you buy local and save big.
Hi, I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Ray Miller. Severe weather season is here once again, and when storms threaten, it's essential to stay informed. The best way to do that is to keep your radio tuned right here. Weather Eye's team of meteorologists is on duty 24/7 with the latest in Doppler radar technology, providing you with live storm updates to keep your family safe. And for even more weather information, be sure to check out weatherology.com, where you can view updated radar and share your storm reports and photos. That's weatherology.com.
We'll be right back.
That's just funny. That was awesome. That was awesome because as soon as the Husker fight song comes on, there is no place like Nebraska. Even Jimmy Langan, it's like you're hypnotized. The arm goes in the air. You start doing the fist pump. It's something that's in the blood, Jimmy. It's just in the blood.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking we're going to win 7 games. He plays the song, and I'm thinking we're going to win 10. You know, I mean,
it gets closer to game day. The Kool-Aid gets sweeter.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking Nebraska maybe 7 wins this year, and I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic, but you turn that song on, I'm gone from 7 to 10. No wonder. I think we're going to win 10.
You're born. They hypnotize you like that, and it's just the way it is the rest of your life. Time for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday if you liked the NFL's Thursday night games. 57% said yes, 29% said they'd rather watch college football, and 14% said no. I'm in the minority there. Couple of reasons. As I stated yesterday, most of the Thursday night games are crap. They're not good matchups. And the NFL is still the NFL, but they're just not good matchups. It's always even if you got a really good team on there, it's like Denver, Jacksonville. Well, come on. But I can understand I'm also working those nights, doing games on those nights. So I don't get to see most of it. So I can understand if you got a good 9-to-6 job or whatever your case may be and you can relax and watch football. I get it. The Midtown Mark Cooler question today. The NFL suspended Ray Rice 2 games for his offseason aggravated assault arrest. Was this too harsh, too lenient, or just right? Well, I made a quick comment earlier in the week. I just said, I hate when there's 2 times punishment. But I get it. I mean, I get it. I mean, there's the law, and then there's what you do at your job. And some of the national pundits are saying, well, geez, you know, this happened. And when they bring the drugs in, I'm sorry. You know, they're saying, well, Josh Gordon might get suspended for a year, and all he did was smoke weed. Well, you know, that's illegal, too. That's illegal, too, East Coasters. I mean, you may do it, but it's still illegal. So I don't know if it's too harsh, just right, too lenient. I'll go with just right. It's a penalty and move on. What he did, he's got to deal with on his own, by the way. He's got to deal with on his own. So he misses the first 2 games, and coincidentally, they're quick games there because I think they have that first Thursday night game, don't they, Jeff, for Baltimore? They play on the 7th and the 11th. It's just crazy. So a quick turnaround there for Baltimore. They missed the Cincinnati game and the Pittsburgh game. So there you have it. Alex Gordon, there is an award that goes out from the Major League Baseball alumni. I think it's they play the game like we used to play the game award, but it's officially called the Heart and Hustle Award. And Alex Gordon wins that for the Royals. Every team has a winner. Then they have an overall winner at the end of the year. Albert Pujols and Torrey Hunter and Mike Trout and Dustin Pedroia have won that award in the past. If you want to get those Big Ten football championship game tickets and you're optimistic, they go from about $50 to $90 at Ticketmaster.com. It's still a week away, but mark it on your calendar. Saturday morning, August 2nd at 11 o'clock, they do go on sale. And congratulations to David Klaus of Friend. He wins and becomes the oldest winner of the Nebraska Amateur in 106 years at 54 years of age. Here's a man that won it in 99, was a very good golfer, back problems, eventually surgery, took a long time to get back into his form. And as he said yesterday, he's played well the last couple of years, 13 under. He shot a 6 under 66 yesterday, 13 under. And Riley Reinertsen, who was busy playing All-Star games in between this tournament, finishes 2nd on his way to Oklahoma. He shot 68 yesterday. He's at 6 under. Josh Reinertsen tied for 4th. Andy Sajovic was in there. He was in the top 7. Former Loper Chris Kelzer tied for 10th. Lance Lawson tied for 13th. Current Loper Michael Colgate tied for 18th. And in a weird deal here, we talked, Jimmy, about high schools not letting their coaches out of their contracts or teachers out of their contracts. Shadron State had their track, cross-country, and volleyball coaches. The track coach takes care of the cross-country, married to the volleyball coach. He takes a job at Colorado State. They all leave. Volleyball practice starts as soon as football. I mean, they're like 3 weeks away from starting their season. And Shadron State's looking for coaches. They did name some interim track coaches today that were on staff, but oh boy, they're having some trouble out there with that at Shadron.
Yeah, you know, that would be tough. And players that have signed to, you know, play college volleyball and said, hey, I'm going to play for this coach. That's what's tough about that, the moving with coaches this late. And when you've got people that are going to sign, hopefully most of those girls volleyball players or anybody involved with the coaches, they're going to that school because that's what they want to do. They went to the school and they have assistant coaches and things like that that they can rely on.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations to Ben. He got our trivia question right, that Nebraska was picked to finish third in the Big Ten's new Western Division by the media poll. He's heading to the Buffalo County Fairgrounds and to the Demolition Derby. And it's going to be a beautiful weekend for golf. I know the folks are playing down at Lakeside this weekend. And then we should just make it a tour, because one of the oldest golf tournaments in the state is the Southwest Open at the Holdridge Country Club. And the 87th Southwest Open will be held the weekend of August 9th and 10th. You can contact the Holdridge Country Club. You can go online for a registration form, holdridgecc.com. The number at the club, 995-5744. It's a great two-day tournament, $95 entry fee. If you have to rent a cart, you'll have to add that on. But free practice round on Friday, plus the golf Saturday and Sunday. Range balls are included. The dinner Saturday night, which is excellent at the Holdridge Country Club, the Calcutta, and so much more. The 87th Southwest Open, August 9th and 10th. And we'll wrap it up with this, because I did mention the Lakeside. And not only is the family so in working there and been a part of the Lakeside Country Club over at Johnson Lake, but I just want to send our condolences out to Eddie Ahrens and his family. Cancer steps up and claims another victim, and it's a rough time for the family. So to Eddie and Mrs. Ahrens and Brant and the entire family over there, just our condolences with the family. You can't find better people than Fast and his family. And I know you worked with him a lot of years.
I agree with everything you said, and I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you, Doug.
That's going to wrap things up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, I'll see you when I get back from Chicago, hopefully.
Yep, I'll have Monday off. I'll plan on being here Friday, correct?
That'd be a good thing.
Good deal.
That'd be great.
We'll see you next Friday. All right.
We want to thank Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, and Mitch Sherman for taking the time to be our Husker Roundtable crew today. Also to the American Legion coaches, Brad Archer, Carney, Rick Kissig, Hastings, Tino Martinez, Grand Island. Best of luck to all of those guys, or Kindig, excuse me.
I got Russ Kindig.
Russ Kindig. I'm thinking Rick Kissig, Grand Island. Sorry, Russ. But to Russ and Brad and to Tino and all the kids that are playing in the state baseball tournament, best of luck. We are in Chicago. Randy Bushcutter will join me. A full look at Big Ten football with many great guests, plus coaches, plus players, Monday and Tuesday on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff, will you miss me?
You know I will, Doug.
See you guys Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.